Welcome to this episode of Clinically Pressed. This one, we go somewhere we haven't gone before, and it is definitely an interesting episode. We talk about Reiki therapy with a Reiki master who is also a PhD, and so it is a unique insight on looking at different things related to energy and how that works. For me personally, highly skeptical going in, trying to open up to listen to it, but it is some interesting stuff that's hard to explain. But I think the more that we try and figure out the world and quantum physics, which again is straight over our heads, it can really prove interesting. And so this is going to be a little part of a series. We've got a part two to this one that will be coming out soon, plus we will be working on some editing of an actual Reiki session so you can kind of see what that's all about, and just talking about the different things that we experienced there. We are going to give away our first mobility kit, and we're going to do our best to do this. It is from a review that is titled Great Listen that was done on March 4th of 2019, but we do not have a name for that. So if you can email us and convince us that it's you, info@clinicallypressed.com, and we will exchange information to get that free mobility kit to you. With that, leave a review on iTunes. Enter to win. We're going to draw one every month for as long as we can. I think we got 6 or 8 months worth. Also, while you're clicking around with us, check out as much as you can to subscribe on YouTube. We highly appreciate that. The more subscribers we can get on there, the more we can help fund this thing. We're up over 300, and we're hoping to keep going. With that, enjoy this episode.
Sweet. Sounds good. Well, we are here with Shannon Amberg, who has a PhD, and we are talking about Reiki and energy work, and I guess we're just going to jump right into it and start off, Shannon, if you could just give us a little bit of background about yourself. I know you've kind of had maybe a non-traditional path into Reiki, or I don't know what a traditional path
The backstory would be really interesting.
Yes.
It's a long and winding road, but it's interesting nonetheless. I am an academic by training, spent a lot of time in school. I have a doctorate in natural resources. My undergrad and my master's work is in environmental geography and conservation biology, so I'm trained as an ecologist with a lot of wildlife and fisheries background and all kinds of biology. So yeah, when people meet me and I tell them I do energy work, they're like, what? Because I used to be a college professor too. I spent about 10 years teaching in academia as well. I'm trained as a scientist. And so the scientific mind, the skeptical mind, that's definitely there. It's how I'm trained. My doctorate, though, I studied a lot of psychology and social psychology, and I was really interested in the human brain and how we make decisions. And so a lot of the research that I did at the doctorate level had to do with how people are presented with information and the way they use it. And about the same time as when I really started to work with my own intuitive abilities again, I've been intuitive since I was a small child, but it kind of got turned off when I was growing up. And if it's not nurtured, it kind of goes to sleep. But I was always that person that people would seek out to talk to and tell them their problems, and or they would tell me their problems and want advice. And I always felt like what I was telling them was what they needed to hear, because, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I was actually reading their energy and understanding or tuning into what they needed to understand about themselves. And so I just gave voice to what it was that they needed. And so, yeah, people would just seek me out all the time to ask me for my advice. And so I always wondered, like, what is this about? And so in my journey through academia, it happened with students all the time too. And always students coming to seek me out for career advice, or just because they knew I would listen. And And so it became a habit. People would find me, and not just for what I could teach them about natural resources and the environment, but also how to live life and seek happiness and feel balanced. So that was very interesting. And I finally realized, like, the whole metaphysical world and energy was something that was really calling to me, and I had been avoiding it for a long time. And teaching in academia, while it's fulfilling in a lot of ways, it was also exhausting because I wasn't doing what I needed to do to help people the way I feel like I'm meant to at this part of my life. So it has been a long and winding road. I had to make a hard decision to leave academia with two small children, and I wasn't spending enough time with them. And the day that I sent in my resignation letter, I got an offer to learn Reiki energy healing, which is a modality of energy work that I had been trying to learn for the last 7 years, and everybody would turn me down.
Really?
Well, I didn't have space in my life for it, and I realized that, right? So the day after I turned in my resignation, it was when the universe said, hey, you can do this now. And so I did, and it just opened everything up for me much further, and it just changed everything in terms of how I view life and how I move through life and how I help people. And yeah, so we can get into that as we talk. But
sweet.
Yeah, it's long and winding road, but it's definitely worth it.
Yeah. Well, you seem very happy. I didn't know you beforehand, but mm-hmm. it seems like you've definitely found your calling.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you are a master level Reiki practitioner. Mm-hmm. And could you explain to us what that is? And then, I guess, with that, what is Reiki and energy healing in general?
Yeah. So just first and foremost, Reiki is just one form of energy healing. It's a modality for balancing the energy body, which most people don't really realize it, but we're more than just this physical body. We have energy that moves through us, that animates us, that moves around us, and that's how we interact with most everything that we come in contact with, is through our energy first and then our physical bodies. So, and I can explain more as we move through examples, but Reiki is one form of working with the energy body, and it's Japanese in origin. And Reiki quite literally means universal life force energy. So if you think about what makes you tick, right? What makes you feel things? What makes you live life? What makes you conscious? That's your universal life force energy. And Reiki specifically is just a way of bringing through energy that comes from the beginning of everything. So the source, we're getting philosophical here. The source of all, right? And it's a very light, pure, unconditional love type of energy. So people feel really good after they have a session. And what it does is it comes through a practitioner and into the client, and it goes exactly to where they need it. And it helps to bring lightness and peace and calm to their body. So it's really good for reducing stress and helping people just calm down. And as humans, and we're energy bodies, we move through life and we pick up a lot of negativity that weighs us down, and things get stuck to us. And that's really interesting to be able to see it. If you're intuitive or psychic, you can see that stuck to people. And what Reiki does is it goes into the body and it breaks that all loose, and it kind of washes it away. It's like an energy oil change is what I describe it as.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like yep. And we all need that, right? We come from a place that's very pure and light. We're born into our physical bodies as humans, and then we got to do this human thing that's very dense, right? So then in the process, our energy gets a little weighed down and muddied. So we need to figure out ways to balance that. Energy work is a way to do that, and Reiki is one form. And so being a practitioner, there are different levels that you go through. It's just like training. And really what it is, it's a series of intense meditations that you go through over a period of months and years as you go through different levels. And it's like you just get your switch flipped on. Everybody has the capability to channel healing energy. You don't have to be special to do it. In fact, I'm going to ask you guys, what is the very first thing that you do when you injure yourself?
probably grab it or hold it,
yeah,
rub it.
You put your hands on it. Yep. So instinctively, we know.
I thought an explicitive might come out first.
Well, I mean, that's a release of energy, too, right? That can be very healing. There's science on that, right?
There you go.
The very first thing that we do is we put our hands on it, right? What do our kids ask us to do when they get hurt? They ask us to kiss their wound or kiss their owie. It's because as humans, we know instinctively that we have the ability to channel healing energy. And we do it through our hands. We do it body to body. Like, people can be standing in a room with a Reiki practitioner and they don't even have to be touching. They'll feel the energy come to them as they need it. So walking through the grocery store is a very interesting experience as a Reiki practitioner.
I can't even imagine.
So it's, so you go through these different levels of training, and it's just, you just get in more depth into learning how to work with the energy. And really, like, most importantly, it's how the energy matures in your body and how you intuitively know how to work with it. While across the board, the training and the initiation into Reiki practitioner as a Reiki practitioner is the same, how one uses it is very individual. So when it comes into your body and you start using it, so many things open up for you as one person that no two Reiki practitioners are going to practice the same way, but the principles are the same. So I'm a master in two different forms at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and that's with the, these two different forms out here.
Usui Tibetan, which is the holy fire tradition now. And then, Karuna Reiki, which is a little bit different. It's the Reiki of compassion. It's very, very powerful. Yeah. So we have a set of symbols that we use in different traditions, and each of those symbols, they channel the energy in a different way. So we have symbols for like increasing power or strength, or we have one that's like a spiritual anesthetic, so it reduces pain. We have one for healing, like genetic tissue and emotional damage at the genetic level. It's really rad, you guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool stuff.
So I've had Reiki sessions,
yeah.
But could you tell us, and I'm long overdue, what happens?
You are overdue.
What happens during an energy healing session?
Because that was also my question. You like referred to it as a...
energy oil change?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it something like, it's almost set up like that, like you go in for your quarterly one, or obviously... might be more frequent if you're trying to specifically deal with a certain thing.
Yeah.
And
so
a whole set of follow-up questions on that.
Yeah. That's a great start to it. Personally, I mean, as a practitioner, and I'm very energy sensitive, I get work done on myself, twice a month, if not more. Like if I'm going through something pretty big, then I know when I need it, but I try to be very, regular in how much I get work done. I have people that come see me once a month, once every few months, people that come see me twice a year, right? I would argue that if you really want to be working well with your own energy, that you would try to balance it pretty often.
Okay.
But I never like pressure people to do that. I tell them to listen to their body, because you know when you don't feel well, and you know if it lasts for more than a few days at a time that something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, and usually there is, right? Usually you're not plugged into the earth, or you're, you know, not plugged into the higher realms, and that causes you to be off kilter. But you had asked the question, what is it like to have a typical session? And, you know, people come in, it's like you're going to go in for a massage, but you're fully clothed and you lay on a massage table and face up. And we talk about what your concerns are, what are you struggling with? And I need to point out too that Reiki, it's not just a physical health thing. This is universal life force energy that helps to heal or puts your body in a position, or your energy body in a place of ease, so that you can heal at the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual levels. So I have people that come to see me for chronic pain. Your grandmother is the person that comes. And then I have people who come to see me who are really struggling mentally or emotionally with conditions, or just feeling really stuck in life. And I also have people who come to see me who are like, they're on a spiritual quest, right? They're seeking answers. And what Reiki does is it clears away all the BS, basically, mm-hmm. and it allows you to be in a space for a little while and have access to clarity. So I always encourage clients to journal after their sessions, because you're in this sweet spot of like clear energy and you have a lot that can come to you in that process. So we talk about those kind of things. So what's bothering you? Why do you feel like you need Reiki? And then they lay down, you know, I take note of what I need to understand about their physical health, their mental, emotional, and their spiritual health. And then I have a ritual that I go through, which is really like a prayer, right? So guide me in doing this work, and I access the energy, and I can feel it when I'm plugged into it, because my body will heat up and my hands will start to get warm, and you can feel the energy coming out of the hands like it feels like warm caramel, like kind of oozing out of the hands, or sometimes it's like the air from a hairdryer. And then I just work my way down someone's body, light touches. We have these traditional hand positions that we use, you know, the head, the shoulders, the hands, the hips, the knees, the feet. But most of the time my hands are just hovering over the body, and I'm guided, or I just follow my intuition of where I need to go on the body. And I always check the main chakras along the midline. So if you don't know what a chakra is, it's the energy centers that we have in our bodies, and we have over 330 of them. And these are just junction points in the body where energy, so energy flows like rivers of light through our body. And they come to these points called chakras or energy centers where it spins and generates and pushes energy further along its path. So they're like intersections where if they're blocked up, it's like a traffic jam, right? So I check those places to make sure they're open and spinning, and they spin either in a clockwise or counterclockwise direction. If they're not spinning, that's a problem, because it means your energy's not flowing where it needs to or how it needs to. So I go down the midline and I check the seven main chakras on the spine, because those are huge centers that affect the whole body. Chances are, if those things have been closed for long enough, you'll have physical symptoms, pain, discomfort, illness. Certain chakras are associated with mental disorders or learning disabilities or emotional issues that are chronic. So I feel like I'm going off into the weeds here, though. I mean, I can talk for hours about this, but a typical session, right? So I check all of that. If something's closed, I open it up and we talk, the client and I talk about why. And I focus on the mental and emotional issues, because that's intuitively, that's what I see in a body when I'm working on it. I'll be on a body and I'll be able to tune in almost immediately to what they're going on. Why is your heart broken? Right? Like, what happened to you? Like, I'll be able to see that. Or why are you worried? We're so worried about money, you know, or what happened to you that you have such guilt? Those are the types of things that I see in someone's body. So I tune into the emotional aspects. And once we talk about it, that starts the deeper healing process to, you know, allow the Reiki to push through things that need to go. But also the physical discussion of it allows people to start to allow their body to let it go to that emotional level. I know this is like, was a lot, right?
No, it's good. Because kind of the follow-up that I had to that is like, so for the patient, do they have to be like all in and like open to this?
No, it works on you. It works on you whether you believe it or not. But most people won't walk through the door if they don't believe on it.
Right, and that was more my curiosity, because like I'm open. I love hearing about it, but I'm probably be the first one to be like, I probably never go and do it, and then even have that skepticism, that healthy dose of it on the back end.
Yeah,
and just how that would all play out. So just out of curiosity, like
yeah,
I'm assuming it probably has more effect if they are. Well, bought in, just because then, you know, they can help.
Yeah, our minds
on the back end.
Our minds and our emotions are very powerful, right? So that can amplify the effects of the healing process. But really, like, if we break this down to the physics and quantum physics level, energy is energy. And, you know, the healing modality is going to do what it needs to do to your energy body, because your energy, whether or not you believe it, really isn't going to make a difference. It may make your journey through healing slower, just because you're limiting yourself and your beliefs about what is necessary for your own healing or what you're ready to confront. But the energy will work the way it needs to. And that's what's magical about it, is people who are the biggest skeptics will be standing next to me and won't understand why they feel so good. Right? Like, they'd be in a miserable mood, and And 10 minutes later, wow, I feel so good after talking to you. And I'm like, well, I know why, right? I'm not going to tell you why because you won't believe me. So it works whether you believe it or not. And but it can be more powerful, amplified if you dive into it as a modality for because it's really commanding your own energy and your spiritual your spiritual right to, you know, as a soul, right? What do you get to do in this life to feel as good as possible so that you can walk your journey? I know, philosophical again, but
it's all tied in though.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, a whole session, I just work that way. And then clients will, it's really amazing because you can feel the energy. And it's fun when clients have never had Reiki before and I'm working on them. And they feel their energy moving. So it'll feel like heat or vibrations or a whooshing sensation or swirling or staticky electricity. And I won't even be touching them. And I could be at their head and they'll feel it at their feet. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people will say they feel like they're melting into the bed. And I'm like, yeah, that's good. It's working, right? So it's fascinating to see how people experience it. And then their world just opens up when they are able to feel their own energy move because it makes it real for them. So, I mean, I feel it all the time, but yeah.
So have you ever had ones that are like extremely difficult where you aren't getting the results? Because again, kind of going back just to a much bigger thing, it's like everybody's got their thing. And in theory, if that thing fixed everything, that should be the thing. And
well, healing is always a process, right? And it comes, healing happens in layers. So I never go into a session. Well, first of all, as a Reiki practitioner, anybody working with energy, we're taught first and foremost that we're never committed to or tied to or married to any kind of outcome, right? So a client may come in complaining about, well, we'll just use chronic pain as an example. And a Reiki practitioner, any energy practitioner in anyone would say, oh, I can fix that for you. I would never do that. I would never say I can fix that for you because I don't know what they chose to experience at the soul level, right? Chronic pain might be something that at the soul level they needed to experience as some type of a struggle. But I can say, you know, we're going to do Reiki and we may see that it alleviates pain or it helps you come to a place where you feel like you're better able to navigate it, right? Most of the time we have relief, right? I have had clients where, one client in particular had a specific nerve issue. I can't remember the acronym for it, but, it's like nerve pain from some kind of injury that's constant and it doesn't go away. And it's like CPS or something. I can't remember what it's called, but he came to see me twice and his wife made him come to see me. So he was a skeptic and I thought that I would be able to help him. So it was a learning opportunity for me too, because I have had two other clients with the same condition and they had wonderful results with Reiki. Reiki didn't touch his pain at all. He was still miserable. And what I came to understand is I wasn't his pathway for healing. And emotionally what I saw inside of his body was he didn't feel like he deserved to feel better. So, and I asked him that, like, do you feel like you're allowed to feel better, deserve to feel better, you're worthy of health? And he said, absolutely. But everything in his body was telling me that that wasn't the case. So those are interesting conversations. Mm-hmm. So what I have access to intuitively in someone's body, figuring out a way to tell them in the most respectful manner so that they'll understand they may not be ready for the message.
Right.
So that I wouldn't call it a difficult case, but it was one of those situations where I realized I can't fix everybody. It's not my job to fix them. What I can provide is a platform for them to feel better, or to get them to a place where they can see their solutions more easily, or they're ready to tackle their healing, the way that they need to. So I never say I'm going to fix someone. I say Reiki is going to help you. We're going to peel back your healing in layers and we're going to see what comes up. I have had a couple of clients where they were such in such a low place that doing Reiki on them, because Reiki is a very high vibrational energy. It's unconditional love energy, so it's very light. Touching their body actually caused them to retract from me. Their limbs would contort in these weird positions, and it's almost like it looked uncomfortable, but it wasn't. But their body was just not, it was so low vibrational that it was so hard for them to take the energy, and it was almost like a short circuit for them. I know this is so bizarre to explain it to you, but if you could see it, and when that happens, I know exactly, like, oh, this is, you've been low for a long time. And it's like their body doesn't remember what it feels like to have the higher vibrational energy running through it. So those are people who've had, you know, years of stuff going on, you know, chronic mental illness and trauma when they were really young that they've never really come to terms with. And then when we're really low that way, it's hard for us to, that those are harder cases.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you really want to help them, but it takes a long time to get them back up. I know we could really, like, we could go down the rabbit hole, you guys.
There's lots of rabbit holes. So, one question that I had is, with your background, and like you said, your scientific, logically trained mind, it seems like that's over here, and then you've got like the non-physical side over here, and like, how do you mesh those?
So it's interesting. I mean, I used to be, when I was young, I was very intuitive, and then, you know, moving through school, you're taught like you only believe what you can see, right, and what you can touch and experience that way. So then that was my reality for a long time. But I had this penchant for being able to like see things before they would happen, or like just know, have a feeling. And I just chalked it up to being, you know, like definitely not psychic or intuitive, but, just like, oh, coincidence or whatever. But when I was working through school, like I'm good at the science, right? There are people that are far better than me, but I pay attention to details, and obviously went through a whole doctorate program and proved myself that way. But I was always still very interested in philosophy and psychology, which is a science, but like there's a lot going on in the human mind that that is esoteric as well, right? So those two pieces have always been there. I think when my intuitive abilities started to open up again, and I became really interested in the metaphysical and really diving in, I had a very hard time trying to allow myself to be fully open to some of the ideas without proof, right? Like, I know this is possible, like, because some people experience it, but I don't know if I really know that's to be, you know, true for me, because I haven't seen it, right? So, you know, science and academia, in terms of like the learning that I did, is very much you believe it because somebody's laid out a theory and hypotheses and they've proven it, or they've disproven something that it's not, right? So you have to see it before you can believe it. And the other side of the coin is you have to believe it before you're going to see it. So I really had to train myself to trust everything that I felt and saw intuitively before I had proof that that was actually what was happening. And boy, that was really hard. It took me probably 7 years of practicing to just really tune in and allow whatever to come. And now it's, I wouldn't say, you know, I feel like I'm pretty accurate, right, when I'm able to read people, but I am also human too. And, I make mistakes and we're meant to. So it was a long journey. So it's a really good question. And, but it was part of what I wanted to experience as a soul too. Like, how do you really trust yourself? How do you get back in touch with your innate sense of knowing? Like, when we were evolving as humans, like we had to rely on not just our five senses, but everything else in between, right? Like, what's, you know, the hairs on the back of your neck stand up for a reason. You have a gut instinct for a reason. And science has proven that too. Your gut talks to you in ways that we're just beginning to understand scientifically. So, but all of that is intuition. All of that is your energy body talking to you, because it's hypersensitive. So it took a long time, but now I'm finally, so I started my metaphysical journey probably in 2005. I would say in the last 2 years is now I really feel like, okay, I'm doing this and I trust what comes in, and I don't, there's very few times now where I'm like, oh, am I getting that? Is that accurate? Yeah. It's now I trust it enough. And the more you trust it, the more accurate it becomes, because you're allowing the universe to speak through you, really. I mean, that's the simplest way I can say it.
So do you have ideas of whether science will catch up on the other side of things and be able to to like prove it? And where do you see
Absolutely.
That going?
Well, oh yeah, and it's already starting to catch up, so it's really exciting. But like, I mean, if you read anything about quantum physics, there's a ton of information out there already.
Think back to Kevin Schultz, who recommended a quantum physics book. He's a strength coach down at UW, and he talked about it.
I mean,
funny how it comes full circle.
Yeah, energy is energy, right? Like at the very basic level. So there's a whole field of study that's investigating this kind of stuff. And I was just reading a compilation article about all these studies done about people, like when you walk barefoot, what happens? Like barefoot on the earth, what happens? Mm-hmm. And people have been able to figure out that it's the transfer of the negative ions from the earth to your feet that actually reduces your blood pressure, calms you down.
Talked about that before.
Yeah. Grounding.
So it is. It's grounding. Yep. And that like, I don't care if you feel like you need to understand physiologically what's happening. Energetically, what's happening is you don't have a barrier between the soles of your feet and the earth, and the earth is one of the primary places that our energy ties down into.
Isn't that the theory with like the salt lamps too? Something with
negative
ions.
Yeah. Cleans the air, cleans the, neutralizes the energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what your original question was, but science catching up. Yeah. It's happening. It's really, really exciting. And, you know, we already know, like, string theory tells us there's multiple dimensions, right? And we are just, you know, what we physically interact with is very limited. But if we open ourselves up to what we know scientifically to be possibilities, there's all kinds of stuff happening, right? So read some quantum physics. It'll blow your mind.
Yeah, we'll link that book up, because he said it wasn't terrible to, like, you could get out of it.
What he said.
Yeah.
I have lots of recommendations.
The one I read was Why Quantum Physicists Do Not Fail, I believe. And that was just like, I believe, the tip of the iceberg. And it was so interesting, though. It's just mind blowing. But I'm sure
the
field is just so
rabbit holes, right? It's, yes, I do absolutely believe science is going to catch up. And, there's photography that can capture in imagery. It's called Kirlian photography. It's a certain way of using photographic technology to actually capture the energy field around people's bodies or food or whatever. So you can see it with certain types of technology, which is fascinating too. Yeah. So I do fully believe that, you know, it's going to catch up. I mean, it already is. And and right now there's probably, you know, anyone listening who's energy sensitive is probably saying, duh, right?
Yeah.
We don't actually need science to catch up, because so many people are really aware of it anyway. But it's nice for those people who need proof before they're going to believe. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have other questions?
No, I think that was awesome in terms of just kind of summarizing.
I've got some other questions, but I think they're too deep and too big of rabbit holes to get down in one episode. So I think
always worth a follow-up. Yeah.
Follow-up. Well, anybody who is looking for more information, what about what Reiki is? It's, if you Google it, it's spelled R-E-I-K-I. And there are lots of good resources. There are several official organizations that put out a lot of good information about what Reiki is and how it can benefit somebody. It's like going for a massage, but I don't massage you. I work with your energy and get it flowing again, and I feel very fortunate to be able to do that for people. It's very fulfilling. Opportunity for me each time I work on someone. So you can go on the interwebs and look up some information. And then Maybe what I could do is put together a book list that you guys can put in your little podcast episode description in case people are interested. But
yeah, I know you've always got recommendations.
Yeah, I'm always shoving books at you, Erica. It's just, I mean, once you open up to the idea, it's like you can't go back, right? Like it, some people can, but for me, it's like once you know, you can't unknow it, and it's like, oh my God, this stuff makes so much sense. And when somebody talks to me about complaining, like, oh, I have this going on, I'm not sleeping well, and I'm like, well, your crown's closed, and it means you're not even plugged into your life purpose, so what's going on there? And so I, like, they'll give me a symptom, and I have this whole host of questions, like, oh, you must be having a little back pain. Are you worried about your relationship? Or are you, like, you worried about your career? Or, so it's very interesting how our bodies map our emotional issues and how our emotional issues then in turn affect our bodies. But
that's super interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
Sweet. Should we get into the CP questions?
Sure. We can get as many as we can.
I want to go up to this one real quick. Sorry. So there was one specific question. I don't think we'll dive down too deep, but what advice would you have for individuals who are looking for better understanding or comfort or guidance from the divine in their own lives? Or just kind of to summarize that, just how do people apply what you do into their own lives without coming to see you?
Oh,
not that that's not a good idea.
Well, so you're really asking, like, how do you become more in tune with yourself? Maybe. I think that's what you're asking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think.
You know, I'd say sit your butt on a cushion and start meditating. Yeah. Or you take walks and you really just think about, you know, you think about what's going on in your mind and your heart. Asking the deeper questions, like, what is this about? What is my purpose? What am I here to do? How can I serve? And we're in this day and age, we are so distracted from our own feeling, our own body, and our own self and our own knowing. There's just so much going on around us, and we're so busy, and there's so much to draw our attention that we're just not present with who we are and what we're even feeling in any given situation. And when we're not present with that, there's no way we're going to be able to look at it and then deal with it. So that's how all kinds of emotions get stuck in our body, because we're like, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to heal. I'm too busy to take care of myself. So I would tell people, you know, you sit in stillness for 5 to 10 minutes a day and you'll start to learn a whole lot about yourself. And I promise you, if you meditate for 21 days straight, it becomes a habit, and you'll miss it when you don't, and you will start getting guidance. When I say guidance, it's like these epiphanies that come in through meditation, where it's your higher self talking to you, and it's your higher self saying, hey, we came here to do something, so let's get on it. And this is how you feel good. This is how you take care of your spirit and your body. This is how you form relationships that are meaningful. Like, you get all of that when you find that place of stillness. So I would say, one, you start to meditate, and that can look a lot of different ways. Some people go running, some people go walking, some people go hiking, some people sit on a cushion. I prefer to sit on a cushion and sit still. But it can look a lot of different ways. Two, I would say you start journaling and you write to yourself about what you're feeling. Because if you do not deal with your feelings, they stay with you until they do. And then they get embedded in your physical tissues. And then it's a whole lot harder to heal you when it's at that point, because they're stuck with you for a lot longer. And then three, I would say when you're journaling, you really get in touch with, why am I feeling the way that I am? Why am I thinking about this so much? What is the root of this? And I always tell people, ask yourself the question, why is this here? Well, because of this. Okay, well, why because of that? And then you keep going until there's nothing else to write about. And there's a lot of nuggets of wisdom that come up. Many times it's stuff you haven't thought about before, or you haven't thought about in a really long time. But if it comes up, it means it's in your body, your energy body, waiting for you to let it go. And then three, it's okay to feel your feelings, right? it's okay to take time to be human and feel your feelings. That's why we came here. As humans, we have the full spectrum of feelings, from, you know, the deepest despair to the hugest, biggest, most magnificent euphoria. So let's not be robots about it, right? Like, let's do this. And so feeling feelings is how you understand what drives you to do what you want to do, or what's going to fill your heart and soul, how you find your purpose, how you find your people, right? So how you find your happiness and sadness too.
Sure.
Because you wouldn't know that without, you know, you wouldn't know happiness without sadness. So I hope that answered your question. That
was no, that's a great answer. And that actually answered one of the questions we had down there.
Oh, good.
What's something that you believe that others may not?
Oh, God.
Insert most of the episode into that question.
Jeez. Well, so this is, I mean, my life, right? Like, something I believe that other people may not. You know, I'm a firm believer that we carry the wounds of those people that came before us, right? And this is just one of many things that can seem quite esoteric, but as you start to work with it in the energetic field, it's pretty obvious that this is what's happening. Our family line, you know, they're humans too, right? With experiences that are both painful and beautiful. And genetically, those emotions can get programmed into the DNA and passed down to us. So I'm a firm believer that what we experience in our lives in some way, shape, or form is very heavily influenced by what our parents went through and what their parents went through, and so on and so forth. And so anything that wasn't healed for them is something that we then get to discover in ourselves and confront and finally close out that circle or that cycle. And I've seen it in so many clients, right? Like burdens that they carry energetically that belong to someone in their family, like four times removed. But it was still significant for them too. And science, believe it or not, has been able to track this with Holocaust survivors, women who were pregnant during the Holocaust in concentration camps. Many of their children have had documented anxiety disorder, mental illness, things that are very emotional in nature and cognitive in nature. And what they feel is happening is epigenetically all the stress that the mother went through and the emotional trauma was like genetically programmed into the DNA, and then now the child has that to deal with, right? So a lot of that could be stress hormones and chemical you know, combinations, but you know, it's the emotions that set it off, right? So it's very interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Yeah.
Super.
Yeah, so epigenetics, I think, could go a long way in helping us figure out what energy actually does even more. Yeah.
Or they've done some studies with tracking the epigenetics, not even just with the previous generation, but like the grandparents' generation and the effects of it.
Well, what they've been exposed to, yeah, chemically and then even emotionally, like what happens. It's just, I mean, literally you can blow, well, not literally, figuratively, you can blow your mind, right, reading about this. And then it's so fun to get into a circle of intuitives and start talking about this because we just dive in. And
I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, right. And well, because all of us are seeing things from our intuitive perspective and it happens in our awareness, right? So not always our physical eyes, but such wild experiences. But when you have one and you're like, wow, WTF, what happened there? And you're just taking notes, and then you go talk with your intuitive friends, and they're like, oh, yeah, that happened to me last week with a client. I'm like, oh, my God, so this is a thing, right? Like, so you're comparing notes, and you're learning along the way, but it's like, oh, that's what it looks like then energetically. It's so rad because it's so rad.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You got questions, Joel?
Go ahead.
Pass book recommendations along. What is the most influential purchase that you would recommend for people for under $100?
I really, like, I don't even know how, I don't know that.
And it doesn't even have to be related to energy work.
Oh,
it can
just be
just
random?
Like, you know, like the sweet toaster at Target or something.
Really? Right? Is that helpful? Oh, so this is, I don't know. Okay. So the most influential purchase under $100. Oh, God. I mean, practically, like, for energy speaking, I would say it's my meditation cushion.
Okay.
I was wondering if you were going to go there with that. Or, like, that seemed to make sense.
I do work with certain decks that, you know, people who are into energy, sometimes they'll be using tarot decks or oracle decks, and tarot has a connotation that it's negative or, but it's really not. It's just a tool that you would use to access your intuition. So, I use those quite often to set the theme of the day or to, you know, pay attention to things that I need to pay attention to. It's one way that the universe can just knock on my door and be like, hey, by the way, you got to pay attention to this because I know you're not listening, right? So that helps. But like, I don't know, something else random. I don't know, under $100.
That's a good recommendation.
Yeah, okay.
Meditation cushion.
Because, I mean, I was trying to think about that question last night. I'm like, oh, God, I don't even know. But yes, meditation cushions.
Sounds good.
Do the complicated, simple one. And
sure.
The complicated, simple one.
So, yeah, in your area of expertise, how would you make what you do that is complicated, how would you make that simple?
For people to understand, you mean?
That works.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, what I tell clients, if they've never had energy work done, I show them the magic trick that I showed you. I show them how, well, at first I explain energy in terms of physics, right? That really we know quantumly we are just particles of energy that vibrate at a similar frequency, and that's what actually makes us look solid. And this is established, right? This is what's taught in physics and quantum physics when you're learning it. So then if, in fact, we are just particles of energy that vibrate, then everything that is around us and that we interact with and that we do and think and feel, that's energy as well. And we know that energy can't be created or destroyed. So what we have is what we got, right? And it just transforms. So I talk about energy that way. I show them how powerful your thoughts are and how energy can come out of the hand. So I do this little magic trick, right, with a pendulum, which is just a tool, a stone hanging from a chain, and it swings in a certain direction to show how energy is swirling. So I show them how that works, and then I cut off the flow of energy with my thoughts. And my intention is very powerful. And then people see that and they're like, whoa, because the pendulum's not swinging anymore. And then I get it going again, tell my energy to start moving again, and then the pendulum will swing again, right? So it's like a magic trick, but it's not. It's physics, right? It's like it's your energy moving. It's your intention is energy too. So I explain how energy moves in that way with that visual, and that seems to be really powerful for people. And then when I talk about it, I talk about it as, you know, we have energy. It can get heavy depending on what we're going through. If we're really sad or we've had trauma or, you know, we've been around a lot of negative people, we pick up that stuff into our own body. And then energy work with Reiki or any other modality just gives you that oil change, right? Fills you up with all the good stuff. And how I see it is like rivers of light that move through people's bodies. So, and most of the time when I'm working on people, they feel it moving. So that's really powerful too. I hope this is simple. Is that simple?
I think coming from where, how complicated things get, I think that simplifies
it. Simple.
Yeah, I do.
Agreed.
Yeah. It's just lovely work, right? And, Once you dive into it, it changes your whole perspective on how life works, and you believe in magic again, which is, magic is just energy too, right? So, it's good stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Shannon, for taking the time to chat with us.
We'll definitely have to do a round two.
I think so too.
Be awesome.
There's
it's so good for everybody, right? And I know you guys have athletes and people who are into fitness that listen to this podcast, obviously, and so it's really good for so much stuff.
I can attest to that personally.
Yeah,
experiencing
Kyle's
it.
Had a few sessions.
It's hard to explain, even I think.
It
to
blew
people,
your mind,
like,
though.
It did. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So it's all good.
Yeah, I made a believer out of you.
There you go.
For sure.
Yeah, it's cool. This is my pleasure. This is so much fun.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you for checking out this episode of Clinically Pressed. Go to clinicallypressed.com for full show notes and links to everything that was covered in this episode. While you're there, you have access to all of our episodes, insights, and shorts. You can find Clinically Pressed on YouTube and any podcast outlet. If you could give us a rating, thumbs up, or review on how we are doing, we would greatly appreciate it. To get more free content delivered to your inbox, sign up for the Total Athletic Therapy newsletter. You'll get direct links to all new Clinically Pressed episodes, reviews on some of the latest research in health and performance, and links to related podcasts and other items meant to help you make the complicated simple and optimize performance. Thank you for listening, and see you next episode.